I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You are listening to The Curator Podcast, Season 2, Episode 13. An interview with Chelsea Wolfe.
Chelsea, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm pretty tired today, but I'm hanging in.
Are you excited to be back on the road, back in Europe?
Yeah, I feel like it's been a while since I've been over here. To be honest, it starts to blur together over the years, like, and I think that I was just here, but it's actually been like over a year or something. So, yeah, it's nice to be back.
I'm glad. This will be my first time seeing you tonight, so
cool.
I'm really excited. Sweet. I've had Abyss on repeat for like ages, and I was just like... My flatmate was like, walked in to me listening to it today, and he said to me, it's like Bjork and Deftones had a baby.
Oh wow.
And I was like, that's a kind of a strange thing to say.
That's like the highest compliment I've ever heard.
Have you had any kind of weird comparisons? Like, what's the weirdest comparison you can remember about describing your music? Journalists do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about comparisons, but a lot of journalists will just kind of like tell you who you're influenced by. Like, I used to get a lot of Kate Bush, which I think is strange because I really never listened to her. Like, maybe I heard that one hit, Running Up the Hill or whatever, yeah, on the radio, and I think she's cool, but it's not like I was like an avid listener or something, and definitely wasn't inspired by her. So it's always funny when someone's like, she's obviously influenced by blah blah blah, you know. Whatever.
Do you get that in reviews as well? Do you read a lot of reviews? Does that ever come across in reviews either?
What?
Like, the comparisons that are a bit strange.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't really think of anything right now.
It's okay if you can.
I think, like, people are starting to do that with King Woman and I because we're both, like, female singers in, like, a heavy rock band, even though we have, like, very different voices and different backgrounds and stuff musically, but we're friends, so I'm cool with it.
So, this podcast is about creativity and passion, and... I always like to ask this question, is when did you first realise you were a creative individual?
Well, when I was growing up, I was in kind of a musical home. My dad had a band and a home studio, and I always knew that I wanted to write. I always loved words and knew that I could like sort of define things in my own way and understand something about the human condition in my own way. Even as a kid, like, I started writing poems and stuff when I was like 7 years old, and then I started setting them to music by age 9, so it started pretty early.
So the poet, what was the kind of poetic influences? Because I'm quite into poetry myself, although it might be quite different given I'm Scottish and you're American.
Oh, yeah. My poetic influences?
Yeah. Do you still read a lot of it?
I mean, I don't read a ton of poetry. I just kind of read whatever comes my way or whatever I'm inspired by at the moment. As a kid, I don't really remember exactly what I was listening to. As I grew up, I was listening or reading, rather, Sylvia Plath and Walt Whitman, and D.H. Lawrence has always been a favorite of mine. What about you, Whit?
Well, I really like a Glaswegian poet called Edwin Morgan. He was really fascinating. He's very prolific.
Okay.
He lived to his 90s. And... It's also really interesting because for a long, long time he would write a lot of love poems, but it wasn't like until quite late on in his life that he came out as being gay, and it's really interesting because stuff is like you could never like it's always like I'm trying to think of the best way of putting it. it's never gender specific in any way.
Yeah.
It's just really touching in a kind of
I love that.
General way, you know, and yeah. Everybody was like, oh, okay, that's good. And then when he died, he left money to the SNP, which is like the Scottish National Party, which is like our current governing party, as it were. And everyone was like, he never really spoke about politics in his poems either. Oh. So like, where is all this coming from?
How interesting.
Yeah, and then at university, I had access to his entire, like, he left all of his manuscripts and stuff to Glasgow University.
Okay.
And I actually managed to see, like, the handwritten stuff.
Yeah.
And wow. He did, like, no editing on the page. It was just so depressing to see it. You're like, oh, man. It just came out of your head like that. Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah,
wow.
It's like, you did all the editing in your head and just wrote it down on page and, like, that was it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Wow.
That's pretty mad. But he's brilliant. If you can ever get any of his stuff, it's fascinating, brilliant. Also, like, for my sins, I really like American poet. Allen Ginsberg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and also W.S. Merwin.
Okay. It rings a bell, but I can't remember if I've read it, you know.
He's very good, too.
Cool.
But yeah, I could talk about literature all day. I did my degree in literature, so we could be here for hours.
Oh, okay, cool.
But we're here to talk about your music.
Which, that's, I mean, fine, too.
Yeah, I mean, you do music, don't you? I've heard that you've done music from time to time.
A little bit, yeah.
So the most interesting thing that I found recently is you worked with Kurt Ballou on mm-hmm. your record.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
Just finished. Yeah, I think it was a really good match. The new stuff that I've been writing with my band is a lot more, I don't know even what the word is. It's like we wrote together a lot more. In the past, a lot of it was like I would write something, and then my band would write something, and then we'd kind of mesh it together. But this time we have a new drummer, my friend Jess, who I actually have a long history of playing with. We came together, and like her and Ben, the bass key player, and I were really jamming a lot together, so I think there was more of like a live sound. So I think Kurt was obviously a really good fit for that, and it was awesome to record with him.
Did that come about after the Blood Moon thing? Like, were you thinking about using him anyway, or like how did it come about that you'd worked with him?
It was a little bit of both, because like, you know, we had met him on tour when we played in Boston at some point and kind of checked out the studio and was like, oh, this is cool. And then, you know, a lot of my friends' bands have recorded with him. Like, the new Russian Circles album sounded really great, and Kurt did that. So I was already kind of like, you know, this is a really drum-heavy record. I want to go with someone who's really good at drums. And, like, Dave's drum sounded amazing on that last Russian Circles record. So, yeah, and then when we did some stuff with Blood Moon, Ben and I, we got to, like, stay at the studio and check it out. And so I felt comfortable there and then booked it. Yeah.
What's the vibe like on the new record compared to... I mean, your music is... It's so cliche to say your music's evolved, but it's definitely changed, which is good. I mean, you want to change as a musician. So is the vibe much different from Abyss now?
I mean, I think it is. I don't know if people listening will... Like I said, it's a little more drum-heavy. We really worked out the parts a lot beforehand instead of just kind of, like, going in mostly ready and trying to figure some stuff out in the studio. So, really guitar-heavy, really drum-heavy. Troy Van Leeuwen from Queens of the Stone Age does some guest guitar on it as well. Wow. So it's kind of a weird mesh of different musicians from different genres and things like that. So I kind of just brought them together in my own way.
Because to me, it's just like when I seen that you were recording with them, I was like, holy shit, that's going to be like even heavier. Is it sounding heavier than Abyss? Because Abyss was a heavy record, not in a metal way, but you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this one's heavier. Like, and I think sonically, it doesn't have the same kind of feeling. Like, I feel like Abyss had a lot of space in it or something. Like, the way John works, like, he really finds a space for every little sound, which I think is cool. But the way that I like to hear things is one that's a little more meshed together and messy and, like, I think this one is a little more my style, like that.
That's what I love about Kurt as well. It always feels very, I know it's very drum heavy, but also feels kind of bass to the front.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. we're definitely focusing on keeping it bass heavy as well.
Hi, it's Mark. Just going to jump in here and basically ask you to subscribe to this podcast. If you're a first-time listener, just go into your podcasting app and hit the subscribe button. You can do that pretty easily on pretty much most podcasting apps, and I would really appreciate it if you could do that. Now, I think I've taken up quite enough of your time with this little interruption, so let's get back to this interview with Chelsea Wolfe.
So one thing I was wondering as well about your music is, it feels cliche as well, again, I'm going to bring up that word, the C word, it feels cliche to say that it's quite cinematic in its feel, but it's definitely, I know you've said in a lot of interviews, you kind of, your songwriting's quite narrative driven in terms of, like, you're writing about other people. See that having that kind of sweeping vista, I guess, when you write music, is that something that's always been quite deliberate and conscious on your part as you've grown as a songwriter?
Yeah, well, I think it's something that I do instinctively, so in a way it's deliberate because it's just kind of part of who I am. Like, I've always been a bit of a dramatic person, whether it was like in sports or in, you know, my approach to like the way I dress or anything. It's like I always am a little dramatic about things, so I think just naturally when I was writing songs it was already going to be a little bit more dramatic, just in storytelling and also sonically. Like, you know, once I put a band together, because I started out as a solo artist, like I just loved having all that noise surrounding me and being able to like bring in things and pull them back out and like the dynamic. So yeah.
So is the way that you write, well, you've just done the new record and you said it's a lot more collaborative, was that in a more kind of curatorial aspect, like you're curating the music that's been made, or was it just like everything's in and we'll just decide later on, or did you have much more or less of a say than you usually have
for the new record?
Yeah, for the new record.
I mean, I'm always kind of like the dictator or curator, whatever you want to call it. Curator is probably a little more friendly sounding. But I like to say it's not a democracy, because at the end of the day, like, I everything has to go through me, whether it's like imagery or sounds or whatever. But, you know, obviously when you're working with someone like Troy, you know, you're going to let him do his thing and go from there, because he's so good. And a lot of the stuff he was just coming up with on the spot was so good, and I'm just like, please record, hit record. So I do think of myself as a curator at times, because I do bring a lot of people in and out of this project, and you know, I let them do their thing, then I sort of like fit it into where I want it to be. And yeah, so it's same thing with this one, but like I said, you know, a lot of it was like Jess and Ben and I just jamming out, and that's not the most typical way for me to write, so it was fun.
What was that? Obviously you say it's not typical, so it must have been a lot different. Was it liberating in a way, or did you find it weird to just jam out songs at first, or how did it change your approach to music?
No, it's nice. I think like it kind of brought me back to like I said, Jess and I actually had a band together, like probably, I'm trying to think of what year it would be, I don't know, probably like 9 or 10 years ago, and those songs were really just kind of like off the cuff as well. Like I feel comfortable writing with her, and so I think coming back to that again, you know, I was just kind of like coming up with stuff on the spot in front of people, you know, which doesn't always happen. I usually just like to write stuff alone because I feel more comfortable. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a different sound when it works that way. I don't really know how to describe it, but it's just, I don't know, just a certain way of writing that I have.
That's really cool that you found some people that you can kind of almost share that creative process
with. Yeah.
You know? I think it can be quite hard sometimes if it's all on you, do you know what I mean? I think Prince had that as well, yeah. Especially towards the end of his career when he was writing with them. I can't remember their names, but you know, I had like Third Eye Girl and stuff like that. I'm a huge Prince fan, so I could also talk about Prince all day.
That's cool. I like that. Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like definitely my project has been elevated by the other people that have played with it. If it was just me, you know, I think the songs would kind of like sound the same over and over, you know, or something like that. But yeah, having Ben join the project pretty early on, I think while I was recording my first album, Grabbing the Glow, he joined the project, and so he's kind of been like a collaborator ever since, and he's definitely elevated it because he comes from a different place, of course, and we can write really well together, and then having Jess come in there as well elevates it, so yeah.
That's pretty cool. Are you looking forward to the new record coming out then?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's always more exciting to listen to new stuff, or to play new stuff rather, you know, like on the road. But yeah, I'm trying to dive back into the old songs right now for this tour, and then, you know, refocus on the new stuff.
So will we getting anything new tonight at all? No?
Am I going to play any? Yeah, I'm playing a couple.
Sweet.
So
I'm just really excited to hear new stuff, because I've had a bass in my head for so long. I'm like, I just need to hear something new, because I want to hear how it goes next, because it's just went so many different ways, and that's why I love it. Like, I love the... It's been submerged, like the music feels submersive, if that makes sense. Like when I listen to it, it's like, because I'm a punk kid, so it's like usually it's like 30 seconds and 40 seconds, 50 seconds, you're done, and like you can listen to it in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I listen to your music, I'm like, full attention must be paid.
Oh, that's cool.
And as someone that's grown up with punk music, it's like, this is new. It's a new way of listening to music for
me. That's cool.
I also really like The Darkness, which I know that you've spoken about in a lot of interviews. People bring up all the time of how dark Chelsea's music is.
Right.
Which seems a bit rote by this point. Do you get annoyed when people ask you questions about that?
First I wanted to go back to playing the new songs live, because I have to say, like, I really didn't want to, because I like the idea of people hearing it on the record first and how it's like really supposed to be, and then, you know, you translate it live. So it's a little weird for me to be playing them before they even come out at all. So just keep that in mind. You know, like, I feel like it's going to be a pretty different experience. But going back to getting asked about dark songs, yeah, I mean, people ask me that all the time, and in a way, like, I used to always kind of think, like, well, I'm not a dark person, like, I'm not, like, sad or something, but I actually do think I let, like, the energies of the world affect me a little too much, and that's kind of how I'm able to write, because I don't know, I just have.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I've never been able to, like, hear a sad or a dark story, which is just all around us. You know, if you watch the news or you talk to a friend, like, you'll just hear some fucked up shit because people are terrible to each other all the time. And I just can't, like, hear that and then just go about my day like, oh, everything's fine though, you know, like, it's not fine, like, the world is not fine, and that's what I write about. So for me, it's just like reality music. But a lot of people just call it dark.
Yeah,
you know,
it strikes me as being quite like, by the way you say that, you seem like you must be quite an empathic person, like, sort of bringing the world's burdens on your shoulders almost.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really sensitive to other people's energies, and that can be really exhausting. That's like why I moved out of the city last year and, like, into the woods, basically, because I feel like when I'm not on tour, I kind of just, like, need to take some time to be away from all the energies and craziness of the world and, like, process everything and then put it into music.
It can be on the road a super intense process for anyone, you know?
Yeah, and, I mean, there's definitely bands that tour more than us, you know, but I do think that we tour enough that it's nice to have that desolation when I'm home.
So is that desolation something that you've always kind of like sought? And, like, because you used to live in LA, I remember that being quite a common theme in interviews as well.
Yeah, I think I'll forever be called, like, LA artist Chelsea Wolf, which has never really been true because I'm from Sacramento, and, you know, yeah, but I guess I lived in LA for like 7 years or something, so yeah, I mean, LA's like not the craziest city, you know, it's pretty spread out and stuff like that, so it's easy to live there. But definitely whenever I'm in an actual city, even Dublin yesterday, I was walking around just like, oh my god, so many people, and they're all like running into each other and not even looking at each other, and it's so strange. But that's
so
life.
No, you're the opposite of that, you're kind of in your own little den, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I found some property that's just like surrounded by trees, and there's a lot of places you can just go walk around, and I mean, there's like a community where I live and stuff, but everyone kind of knows each other, which is nice, and you just have a lot of space to yourself.
Is that a preference for nature always been there?
Yeah, I mean, like, Sacramento is really close to a lot of different things. Like, you can go to the ocean, you can go to the mountains, the river, the forest. Like, the giant sequoias are really close by as well, so...
I have no idea what that is, sorry.
Oh, yeah, like, the...
I'm ignorant.
They're just, like, these ancient trees that are literally huge. Like, they're so incredible. When you look up at them, it's just like looking at a dinosaur or something. You know, they're just thousands and thousands of years old. So, yeah, I guess I've always just kind of, like, when I was growing up, we would take trips and go hang out and go camping and stuff. Just, I don't know, maybe that's, like, a very California thing. But I feel like Europeans go camping a lot too, right?
Yeah, we've got a lot of space in Scotland, so you can go camping or climb in the Munros, which are, like, big hills.
Cool.
Or you've got Ben Nevis, which is the biggest mountain in Britain.
Yeah.
I'm a city guy, so that's why I find it really interesting, because most people in bands are also not really, they're also quite city-ish people, because they get involved in those scenes, and then, but it is also tiring. Like, even if you're a city person, it's like, oh man, they have to today, have I got to go out and be near other people? And sometimes I find myself just wanting to run off and live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Especially when you live, like, Scotland, for example, has got a lot of great, like, nature in California, from what you've described.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your face lit up when you were talking about the trees as well.
You
could really, like, see that that's something that was obviously quite attractive about living out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Does that affect your music?
I think so. I think it's helped a lot. I mean, when I wrote Abyss, I first moved out of the city, like, just an hour out into the mountains just to kind of, like, get a feel for it. And I think that really helped, because suddenly it was so quiet. You know, I lived downtown LA before, and there's helicopters every night and drunk people on the street and just, you know, parties all around and stuff. So there's always so much noise, and I think that was affecting my music then. And then, yeah, when I moved out to the mountains to write Abyss, I just wanted to, like, fill this empty silence space with sound, because I wasn't used to it, you know. So I started writing these really loud, kind of heavy songs. And then, yeah, even more so now, like, moving up even further north and even further into the woods, like, it's kind of similar vibe, but yeah, it's just like it's quiet and open, and you just kind of want to fill that space with something, you know.
I also wonder, though, just like from my sheltered experience, a lot of country artists as well are kind of drawn to the place, to the nature, and to like those quieter spaces. I mean, do you ever get the urge to go back and do, like, more acoustic stuff because of your now secluded position in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I want to do more acoustic stuff just generally, and I do write some of that stuff and then just kind of put it away somewhere on a hard drive. But it's more, I think it's more about, like, getting the courage to do that kind of tour again, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, like, not easy for me to be on stage and just be able to hear, like, a pin drop, you know? It's really hard for me to do that because I'm already, like, not always super excited to be up in front of people, and when it's, like, really quiet and the music you're playing is really delicate, it's even more difficult. So yeah, I would like to do that again sometime, but I don't know if it has to do with my surroundings. It's just kind of something that's inside me, and I need to get it out at some point, so I will.
So my last question, which occurred to me, I had two questions, but I'm just going to go for the last one.
Okay.
Would you consider yourself a prolific songwriter?
You know, I don't know. Like, I definitely go through phases where I write a lot, and then I'll go through a few months where I just, it's, like, dry, you know, and nothing. And I used to really freak out about that and think, like, oh, I'm never going to write again. But now that I'm older, I understand that it really comes in waves. So at times I feel like I'm just, yeah, there's so much coming out of me, and then sometimes I don't. Do you feel like I'm a prolific writer? Like, from the outside, does it seem like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've done, what, like, 5 albums now?
Yeah.
And, like, it's not just, I see, being prolific is not just about the amount of work that you produce, but the ways, to me, it's like the diversity as well, because it takes a lot. Like, I don't mean to sound like I'm, like, being try suck up or anything like that, but it takes a lot of courage and, like, a lot of drive to explore new sounds and change.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and I think, I mean, the fact that you can turn out an album every so often is enough, you know. But the diversity for me is the thing that really draws me to your music, is the fact that I can sit down with the acoustic records and it still sounds like you, and that's fucking hard to achieve. I mean, I'm in a band, and that's hard, you know, like, so I think maybe the question is more like, I suppose being prolific means more than one thing, I think, to me anyway. Like, someone like Prince was hugely prolific, but I hope they don't open his vault because it's going to be full of rubbish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, because there's a reason. There's a reason it's in there.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. I definitely have, like, hundreds of songs that I hope no one ever hears, so yeah. I feel that. But yeah, thanks for saying that. I just was curious what it looked like from the outside, because I don't know, just in my own world.
Yeah, well, that's the nature of the artist, is you're stuck inside your own created reality, which is why we do it, you know?
For sure.
And I would say you're prolific, because the fact you've come this far and you're still quite young proves that.
Kind of young. Getting up there.
I'm the same age.
Both getting up there.
Yeah. So Chelsea, it's been a total pleasure to talk to you and a complete honour. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Is there anything you want to say or anything you want to ask me before we finish?
Are you from the city, from Glasgow?
Yeah.
Is there anything you would recommend to see that's like special, or even if it's like a shop or just like some random site that we could drive by or something?
The cathedral is brilliant.
The cathedral, yeah. Okay. Is it nearby here?
It's not too far away. One of the best things about Glasgow is everything's quite close to the centre, and we're basically in the centre just
okay.
now. The cathedral's pretty awesome.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll have time tomorrow to go in during the day, but it's got crypts underneath and all that. It's massive. It's brilliant.
Okay. Thank you.
And yeah, it's also the oldest house in Scotland, is also next to it, which is kind of interesting, I guess. I don't know if you like that kind of thing.
I do like that kind of thing, so yeah.
And there are some pubs in the city centre which are older than America, so.
Oh, wow. That's great. Have a drink that's older than America. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, there you have it. My interview with Chelsea Wolfe. I'm a big fan, so it was really, really great to go and sit down and talk to her. Got to do a bit of a shout out here to her PR person, Lauren, because when I actually emailed her to sort out this interview, she actually mentioned about finding a quiet place, and no PR person has ever said that to me. Usually when I get down to do an interview, I need to explain to them that, look, this is for a podcast and I really need a quiet area where there's going to be no music and very little background sound. And Lauren was more than accommodating for that. And so was Chelsea, so we did it in the van, and I think it turned out really, really well. So I hope you think so too. That's all for this episode. Thank you very much for listening. If you could drop me a rating and review on iTunes, that'd be superb. I would super appreciate that. Until next time, bye-bye.